you see. What other church can you come to and have Brett Michaels leading you in worship on a Sunday morning and a member from Blues Traveler back playing the bass? Can I get a what in the house on that one? Is that not awesome? Woo, this place rocks. Love it. All right, let's get going. Welcome, if you're a first-time guest of ours today, we're glad that you're here. We're in the third week of a series called Death to Selfie, and we will do our best to not catch you up. But literally, that's really cool, because we talk about ideas and themes in this series and in all of our series. So I really hope and pray that God speaks to you in a special way today, as we are, as I said, in the third week of a series called Death to Selfie, when God shows up in the middle of nowhere. Have you ever noticed in life, I don't know about you, but it has been real in mine, that sometimes we get so caught up in thinking about, like, who we would rather be, or where we'd rather be, or what we'd rather be doing, that we get so consumed with that type of thinking that we can very, very easily slip into basically forgetting all of the places that we actually have been and all of those moments where God was and he did some amazing things in our lives that prepared us to be who we are today. We just get so focused on that future and we get consumed with it that we tend to forget what God has already done and who he's already made us to become. So really what I want to do this week in this third week is talk about this particular idea. I don't know if you know this or not, but there is actually a way that you can experience God's presence right where you are now. In such a way that he reveals to you where it is that you are supposed to go next. See, guys, because that's the thing. We get so focused on the future, but God's trying to tell you that right here, right now, in my presence is actually the real peace that you're looking for in your life. In my presence. Chad, I'm going to start cueing you because I need some ameners out there because, yeah, okay, all right, you got to wake up second service, all right, because we're going to get going in a minute. So I want to speak to you about that. And if you've been here, you know we've been talking about a character in the Bible. His name is Jacob. We've been kind of in different places in this series with him and in his life and talking about some cast members. And we're going to continue that way. We're going to kind of be like here at the beginning, at the end, in the middle, back at the end. And that's kind of the way we're talking about to make sense of some of these points. So today we're with Jacob and we're going to kind of head towards the end of his life, towards the end of his journey. He's now well over 100 years old, and it's interesting because he's still on the move. He's still on the move, and he is on a journey of sorts. And that's what we're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 7. If you got your Bibles, you can go there. If you don't, then you can see it on the screens. But I'm just going to kind of tell you where we're at today and where Jacob's at, and this is how it goes. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of all the foreign gods that you have with you, and purify yourselves, change your clothes, then come, let's go to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all their foreign gods that they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak of Shechem. And that's just kind of interesting. I just pull it out real quick. Interesting thought. Isn't it interesting that if you and I are to ever move forward in life, that there are clearly some things that we need to bury from our past? Yep, three people, we're working on it. We're getting better. But that's something that you need to really get a hold of, folks, that if you ever want to go anywhere with God, you're going to have to let go of things in your past. And please don't make me sing Let It Go right now, because I don't want to do that. I will if it needs to wake you up. But you need to let go of things. You need to bury them. They're gone. They went to the grave with Jesus, and he gained victory over them. Okay? All right. Yeah, now you're waking up. Okay, let's keep reading in verse 5. So they set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them, so no one pursued them. So God was protecting them. He's protecting them. In verse 6, Jacob and all the people with him came to a place called Luz. And that is also, it says in the Bible, Bethel, in the land of Canaan. Now, this is really a big deal, and you need to get this. You need to understand this. Luz was a place that Jacob went to before, back in chapter 28, and we'll get there in a minute. But Luz was a place that was absolutely amazing, miraculous, and marvelous to Jacob, because the first time that he was in this place called Luz, God showed up to him in such a way that was just monumental in his life. God seemed to, in this moment, basically open his eyes to the presence of God in a way that he had never seen God before, and it blew him away. So Jacob's been here before, back in chapter 28, and now at that time when that happened, he renamed this place called Luz to now Bethel. And he renamed it. So this was a very pivotal time in Jacob's life back then in chapter 28. And this is where God's got them going back again. It's the place where God opened his eyes to the presence of God. So it goes on in verse 7. It says, so there he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel. And it's also a nice little Mexican restaurant in Israel right now that you can visit. Still there today. El Bethel. Because it was there that, get this, God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. So I want to talk to you today, friends, about when God shows up in the middle of nowhere. When God shows up in the middle of nowhere. So let's wake you up a little bit. I just want you to repeat after me. You don't have to talk to anybody right now because you've been doing that the last couple weeks. Just talk to me. Just want you to repeat that with passion this morning, okay? You can repeat it after me. When God shows up, you can do better. You can do better. We're going to do that again. I'm going to give you a second chance, all right? When God shows up, in the middle of nowhere, when God shows up, in the middle of nowhere. Now, here's the thing that I want you to get today, friends. This particular idea, I believe with all my heart, is going to minister to, it's going to speak to two specific kinds of people that are sitting in this room today. They were sitting in this room earlier in the first service as well, but they're sitting in this room today. I believe this message is going to speak to these two types of people that are here today, and you know who you are. You know who you are. Those of you that are in transition, and those of you that are in trouble. You don't have to say amen, because that'll give you out. You know, you'll sell you out. Those of you that are in transition, and those of you that are in trouble, I believe this message is for you today, and you need to open up your ears, and you need to open up your heart to hear what God has to say to you. Because you see, when Jacob went to Bethel, both times he was in both predicaments. He was in both predicaments. He was in transition back in Genesis chapter 28 because he was running from his brother Esau. He was in transition. He was leaving home, going who knows where. And then he was in trouble, as you just heard in Genesis 35, because there was some family conflict, almost too graphic to get into and describe, that has now led God to tell him, you need to go back to Bethel. You need to go back to Bethel. So he found himself in transition and in trouble. So real quick, before we move on, I'm just interested in knowing something. This is a big deal of a place for Jacob, Bethel. I'm interested out there, if I can see you, they have the blinding light on the road to Damascus right in my face today. So there might be a conversion moment. But I'm just interested in how many of you out there have what is known as called a bucket list. A bucket list, like places I'd like to go, locations, places I'd like to visit in my life, people I'd like to maybe meet or see. Anybody out there with a bucket list? Okay, you all live in Luz Loserville right now because nobody's raising their hands. Wait, come on. Raise your hands. Everybody's got something, right? You know what I'm saying? Chad, you got something. I know. Listen, raise your hand. I got a bucket list, all right? All right, now this is interesting because these are places that we'd like to go. I've never really had a bucket list in my life that I wrote down things of where I'd like to go. But in my life, 43 years, I've been able to visit places that are like, this is really cool. And it's kind of sparked some, like, you know, I'd be kind of cool to go this place somewhere someday or that place. And I've kind of listed a few more. But here are a few of the places that I have been, kind of just happened, that kind of started forming a bucket list for me that are pretty remarkable and awesome things. The very first one, and I didn't even realize this until I went, but this was, became one of those bucket lists. Well, Ginger and I went to a place called Alaska. Alaska. First thing we saw was a moose. Look at that. Is that not amazing? We went to Alaska. Now, this is cool because back when Ginger and I first started a church, on the fifth church anniversary, blew us away, but the church gave to us a trip, an Alaskan cruise to Alaska. That is so awesome. And I still, if you were here then, thank you. And I am so excited because next year's 10 years. I don't know what's coming. I'm just joking. No, but this is actually a better picture of Alaska. And that's not a postcard. That was taken with my camera on my balcony right off of my room on the ship. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? Alaska, and it became one of those, yeah, you don't have to clap on that. That's cool, but thank you. But anyway, that became, and we loved it so much that we actually went back last year on our 20th anniversary. Absolutely loved it. And we want to go back again. We want to go back again because it's an amazing place. Now, here's another thing that kind of just happened. I stumbled across it, and it was just blew my mind. This is another place I've got to go right here. Look at that. That's my backyard in heaven right there. That, for some of you, you don't even know what that is. That is the 12th hole at the Masters, Augusta National Golf Course in Georgia. This place is immaculate. They groom the pine needles. It's insane. This place is unbelievable, and I got to go there and experience it with some buddies of mine, and it was just an awesome experience. Now, this is another place that I did want to go and actually had the chance to go just last year. Check this out. With my beautiful wife, she is a bucket list too. I got something that I should never have met or found in my life, and I got her. But we're here in India a year ago. And I'd always wanted to go to India. It was a pretty cool place, and I had heard about it, and we got to go, and it was awesome. And then another place that I always wanted to go was a place called Paris, which was really crazy. But isn't it cool that when you go to a place that you want to go, and it happens to take you to another place on your way back, which is Paris? Look at that thing. That is so cool. Actually, I had a buddy behind me just holding up a little figurine of the Eiffel Tower behind it. Now, that's really the Eiffel Tower. We got to go to Paris, and that was really awesome. And French people are not very nice. I just know that. That's all I know. But it was really cool. These are a couple places that Ginger and I have got to go and experience that were awesome. Now, that's led me to be thinking, you know, it would be also kind of maybe cool to do this someday. So I kind of got a list, and this is probably at the top of my list. This is a place that I would absolutely love to go someday. Right here, it's a place called Israel. I just would love to go and see what I've had the privilege to teach for 20 plus years, almost like come to life with the walk where Jesus walked, the disciples walked. It just would be amazing to me. It just really would. And no, it doesn't freak me out with all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East. Come back, Jesus. I don't care. I want to be in Israel. I think it would be so cool. So that's a place that I would love to go see someday. Here's another place that's just been on my heart. I would love to go to a place called Africa. I just would. I'd love to go on a missions trip to Africa and then kind of tag on at that end, you know, that African safari and see that wildlife. I just think this place is an amazing place, and it's somewhere that I would love to go. This is another place I've seen a lot of pictures, and they're just amazing, but I would love to go here someday. Ireland, I would. I just think it's an awesome looking place, and it's just so beautiful, and I would love to go there someday. Now, here's another place that I would love to go. This would be amazing, especially if the Chiefs were playing in it, but I'd love to go here, right here, to the Super Bowl. I would love to, But especially if I'm waiting for the Chiefs to play in it, it's doubtful that that will ever happen. So I probably will never get to cross that off my bucket list right there. But I would love to go to the Super Bowl. It would be really cool. Now, this is probably the last place that I would love to be able to go somewhere. And I would love to go here someday. This is St. Andrews. This is Scotland. This is the birthplace of golf. And this is unbelievable. And need I remind you, the church's 10th anniversary is next year. And this would be, no, I'm just joking. Stop it. I'd love to go play a round of golf at St. Andrews. I think it would be cool. So these are a couple of my bucket list places I'd like to go, places that I've been. And you know what? Something that I've heard a lot sometimes among bucket listers is this. They're so futuristic thinking of that's the place I'm going to go, that I've heard this said before. And at first hearing it doesn't sound all that bad, but they say, I keep my eyes on where I'm going, not on where I've been. That's what I do. I keep my eyes on where I'm going, not on where I've been. And at first, it's not that bad of a statement, you think. But then if you really think about it a little bit, you start to realize this grave misfortune in that thought. Because if you don't really take the time, friends, to reflect on, to appreciate, or to enjoy where you have been in life, or where you are on the way to where you're going, then maybe you might not even get to where you want to go. You might not even get there. See, it's interesting because I think it's very good that a follower of Jesus Christ, I really do, I agree with this, I think it's very good that as a follower of Jesus, that we never ever grow too complacent in our life. I think that's very important, I do. But I also tend to believe that this is kind of an equal balance. You have also got to learn to be content while not becoming complacent. Amen. Being content is a huge, huge thing in a follower of Jesus, as well as thinking about growing. And this idea right here that focusing on where I'm going and not where I've been, I believe it drives so much selfishness and self-centeredness in our culture today, because it's like we are all just so destination-driven. You know what I'm saying? We're just so destination driven. It's all about where I'm going. And it's almost as if so many people today want to be anywhere else than where they are right now. And yeah, I'll go anywhere else than where I'm at right now. And here's what's crazy about that. You know, you could actually be so destination driven that there is a great chance that you actually arrive where you always wanted to be, and you didn't even know that you had arrived. I'm telling you, you are so destination-driven that you don't even know you've already made it to where God's wanted you to make it to. And it blows my mind. You've already made it. I've heard this a time or two as well in ministry. I've heard people say this, sad thought, but they'll say something like, I sure thought I'd be farther along than where I am today. And I just think that's so sad, because I think with that thought right there, I think that if you've ever said that, you are failing miserably at recognizing all of the other things that are totally worth celebrating in your life. And some of you are like, well, what's that? I don't know. Try this today. Try this. Ready? That's not a bad thing, just so you know. Taking a breath or having breath in your lungs, that's pretty okay. It's pretty much worth celebrating today. Think about that. Think about that. Right now, where you're at, just being able to breathe, you know what I'm saying? Or how about your salvation? How about your salvation, friends, right? You know a little about that thing, that how you once were lost, but now you've been found? Hey, guys, listen, is that not a little farther along than you thought you might be today? You know what I'm saying? Just think about this. And then people kind of actually dismiss that thought, and they'll say something like this, you know, back when I found God. And guys, just so you know, that is a very, very bad thing to say, because you didn't find God, because God wasn't lost. He found you Where? In the middle of nowhere. He found you in the middle of nowhere. So I was reading this the other day about Jacob. You need to get this. This is interesting. With all that stuff that I just said, it does make sense. Genesis 32, verse 10, Jacob says, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness that you have shown your servant. Watch this. He says, I had only my staff when I crossed the Jordan. The first time that I went to Bethel, all I had was a stick in my hand. And now I've come back to Bethel for the second time, and I got two camps, man. I got much, much more. I got much, much more. This is basically Jacob saying, my, how things have changed. My, how things have changed. The first time he has a stick in his hand, the second time he comes back with two camps. So we're about to see here in a minute that Jacob goes back to Bethel. But first, here's what you need to know today, okay? Here's what you need to know. Bethel is a place for Jacob, the first time he went, where God showed up in the most remarkable way that he had ever seen God before in his life. And he showed up, which is crazy, in the middle of nowhere. Of nowhere. So let me do this. Let me share that first account with you about Jacob when he went to Bethel, because to basically understand where somebody is, you kind of need to understand where they came from, okay? So let's go back to Bethel, but let's go back the first time with Jacob. And a little bit of recap, if you haven't been here for the first 2 weeks of the series, back in Genesis chapter 28, which is where we're going to be here in a minute, we see that Jacob is running. He's running, all right? He's in serious transition because he's running from his brother Esau, you just heard in chapter 35, and it was because he had taken away the birthright and the blessing from his brother Esau. So he was running because he had stolen something, and his brother had guns, okay? So you need to know that as well. That's why he's running. Now let me show you the verse, which is very important. In verse 10 of chapter 28, it says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Now that's an important verse because Jacob left something of familiarity to him, something of comfortability, his home. And he was going to work for his uncle Laban to a place that he'd never been. He'd never been before. A place of total unfamiliarity, uncomfortability. So the passage says that Jacob sets out, and gets this, as he's setting out on his way, he's about to see God as he has never seen him before. It's amazing. It's amazing. And before we get there, I just need to say this. Did you know, friends, that you will often see God, often, in the most transitional moments of your life? You will see God often in the most uncomfortable moments. You know, those places where you're at and you're like, how did I get here and where am I going? Those moments of your life, you will often see God in those transitional moments. The problem is this, though. You're not always looking for him or listening for him in those moments. That's the problem. And for some of you that are here today, there's no doubt. We sat down for 5-10 minutes. You share your story. I guarantee you, you're right. You're in a very transitional moment of your life, for sure. No doubt. And it really doesn't matter really how you got there. Here's the thing that you need to know today from our passage. God knows how to meet you in the middle of your nowhere. He knows how to do it. He does. He specializes in it. It's like God is always, always saying in those transitional moments, but we're not listening. But he's saying, I will meet you in the middle of nowhere, okay? That's what I'm good at. When you have only just a stick in your hand because you're on the run, because you screwed up doing that thing in the back, don't worry. I will meet you there because I specialize in meeting you in the middle of nowhere. So you just need to open up your eyes and open up your ears and start listening and seeing me in those transitional moments because that's what I do best. I meet you in the middle of your nowhere. That's what he says. Now, I just love these verses. I just love these verses in Genesis chapter 20. I'm taking you back to that first time, okay? So verses 11 through 19. Says this out of the gate. When he reached a certain place, and I love those two words, certain place. Will you put that back up, George? George is so quick on the trigger. Certain place, there we go. Certain place, because it doesn't even say a specific place. It doesn't give us an approximation of where it's at. It doesn't give us, you know, the GPS address of this place. It doesn't even give us a location. This place is a certain place. Yeah, ambiguously. A certain place. It's a layover of sorts. And let's keep reading. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And now we're just about ready to see Jacob have one of the most profound visions in all of the Bible of God. But remember, it happens in the middle of nowhere. He's about to see God in a miraculous way. Where? In the middle of nowhere. This is how God works. This is awesome. Let's keep reading. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. That can't be good for your neck. Verse 12, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There's tons of heavenly activity that's going on. And then it says in verse 13, there above it all, stood the Lord. And this is just free today, but isn't it interesting that God is always above whatever situation you're in? Just a thought, think about that. He's always above whatever situation you're in. And then God said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. What land? This place, right here, this certain place. Where? In the middle of nowhere. That land. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 14. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and the east, to the north and to the south. And all peoples on the earth will be, don't miss this word, will be blessed through you and your offspring. Interesting thought here, folks. Interesting thought, because most of the time when we find ourselves in the middle of nowhere, we think it's all about me and God, why am I here in the middle of nowhere? And we're asking, God, God, God. And maybe, just maybe, we are placed in the middle of nowhere for us to be a blessing to somebody. Think a little bit about that. Get over yourself. I told you, you don't want to go to counseling with me. You just don't. Don't say I need to talk with Pastor Josh, because I will say this stuff to you. I will say this stuff to you. Sometimes when you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, griping and complaining, saying why and how and where am I going, God's saying, I put you there to bless somebody. You are blessed to be a blessing. You and I, as children of God, we are blessed to be a blessing. It's our purpose in life, just so you know. Just a thought. God continued, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. You catch that? God's like, I'm going to watch over you wherever you go. That's pretty cool. Let's keep reading. And I will bring you back to this land. There's a little foreshadowing to chapter 35. I will bring you back to this land. Okay, and I will not leave you. Another just unbelievable comforting thought from God, especially when we're in the middle of nowhere. I will not leave you. Oh, I love it. What is wrong with you people? Do you not like the idea that God will never leave you? Okay? I'm going to get cranking here in a minute, and I'm going to wave this thing. And if I don't see you going, I will throw my Bible at you, and I'm a ninja, just so you know. Okay? So you've got to get going, okay? This is awesome. Okay, where am I at? Okay. And then Jacob, listen, and then the Bible tells us in verse 16 that Jacob wakes up. And don't miss this. This is so cool. Jacob says this: surely the Lord is in this place. No, what place? This certain place. Where is that place? You know, in the middle of nowhere, that place. Jacob says, surely the Lord is in this place. You know that place in the middle of nowhere? He's here right now. That's who he is. Surely the Lord is in this place. And Jacob says, and I wasn't even aware of it. He just told you what your problem is when you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, right? You don't even know it, but he's still there, right? And then he says he was afraid. Well, of course he was stinking afraid. He was running from his brother who had guns, bows, arrows, all that stuff. He's freaking out, probably sleeping with one eye open. Then he said this next: how awesome is this place? And once again, what place? This place. This certain place. Where's that place, Jacob? You know, in the middle of nowhere. That place. Huh? And he goes on. He says, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So watch what happens next. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head for a pillow and set it up as a pillar. I love that. Isn't that cool? The pillow now becomes the pillar. Just a little southern humor for you right there. And then it says, are you not even laughing on my joke? Should I just stop telling jokes? Okay. And then watch what he does next. It says he poured oil on top of it. It's important that you get this. In the Old Testament, oil represented the presence of God. In the New Testament, oil represented the Spirit of God. So we're in the Old Testament, and he's representing the presence of God. He poured oil on top of the place, and that place he called Bethel. He called Bethel, which means, check this out, the house of God and the gate of heaven. And that's the place that was in the middle of nowhere that used to be called the city Luz, which was nowhere. And it just so happened, get this, oh gosh, get this, this is the place. This place, where, what place? This place, you know, in the middle of nowhere. This place, Jacob was just, he was just passing through. It happened to be the place that God showed up and he makes Jacob a promise. Why? Because God always will meet you in the middle of nowhere. It's how he rolls. It's how he does it, folks. When you find yourself down to nothing in life and you look around you and there is nobody around you and you feel all alone, it's like he's always there and he's always saying, but you're not listening, I'm with you. I'm here with you. That's what he's saying. You may look around and there's not people around, but God says, you still have my presence. He says, you might not have possessions right now, but you have my promise. You have my promise. Quick side note. Did you know as a child of God that you and I have the ability to change the name of the places that we find ourselves in because we have the promise and the presence of God? We have the ability, we have naming rights. We can change the name of the situations that we find ourselves in, and we don't have to call them a setback. We can call them a set up. You have the ability. You have naming rights. This is so cool to me. You have the promise of God. You have the presence of God. You have naming rights. It's so cool that we're actually going to, I'm going to stop talking about it. Like I said, it was a side note, because we're going to talk all about that the last week of the series in the message called Naming Rights, okay? But that's what happens, friends. This right here is what happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere. And I wanted to show you that, Genesis chapter 28, so I can now show you this, Genesis 35, which is our opening verse. Because it was actually when Jacob went back to Bethel that he actually had the deepest encounter with God than he'd ever had before. And you're like, wasn't that the dream? No, the dream was amazing and miraculous in a place where he changed the name to Bethel. But this moment when he went back was even bigger. Even a bigger encounter with God that revolutionized his life. So the remainder of today, we're going to go back to Bethel with Jacob. That's what we're going to do. And here is kind of somewhat of the underlying theme of the messages today. And if you're a note taker, you probably want to write this down. But this is the underlying theme of today's message. I believe with all my heart that there are many, many people that are sitting in this room today, and I'm looking at you in your faces right now, and you're hoping that I don't know it's you, and I don't worry about that. But there are many people in this room that are sitting here today that I believe with all my heart you need to go back. You need to go back to Bethel. You need to go back to the middle of nowhere. You know where that is? That's the place where God first met you. You need to go back to Bethel. So let's just do this. Just help me out, okay? Second service, just make sure that you're still awake, because this is the biggest part of the whole message. Just repeat after me real quick, and let me hear you loud, or I'll call you up on stage and you can demonstrate, okay? All right, say this. I'm going back. A little bit louder, because now this time I'm going to look for someone to call up. Okay, I'm going back to Bethel. One more time. I'm going back to Bethel. Carson, you're just right there like that. Punch him in the throat, okay? I'm going back to Bethel, because here's the reality, friends. Listen, in case you didn't know, I'm just going to give you a little insight. You've got to learn to go back to Bethel often in your walk with Jesus to ultimately figure out where God is taking you to next. You just have to. So God tells Jacob, go back to that place, remember? That place in the middle of nowhere, you changed the name to Bethel, that place where I first met you. Go back. So there's three things today that I want you to grab a hold of before you leave today that I believe Bethel represents. Three things that Bethel represents in your and my life. And if you are a note taker, these are the three that you want to write down. Number one is this: Bethel is a place of remembrance. Bethel is a place of remembrance. It's a place of remembrance. It's a place, friends. It's a place where you remember, you vividly can picture, you can recall, you can recollect all those moments that God just showed up and he showed off in miraculous ways in the most desperate situations of your life. Those places. Did you know that in Scripture, one of the oft-repeated commands in all of Scripture is this word, remember? Remember? Seriously, go read your Bible sometime, Old Testament, New Testament, you'll see this word everywhere. Remember, remember, remember. It's like this recurring theme of remember. Go back and remember. Go back and remember, because God may be onto something thinking that we're forgetful about things. So he says, remember, remember, one of the most off commands, mainly because this, here's the thing that I've met so many people, I want to go farther with Jesus, I want to grow with Jesus, I want to learn things new, I want to learn some more things that are new, but did you know that sometimes to really know where we're going, it's not about learning something new, it's actually about going back and remembering what he actually taught you here. See, again, this is just one big giant counseling session. You already have the power. You don't need that power, the information from me. It's here. Go back to the place that he changed your life. Go back and remember what that moment and what that experience felt like. So God tells Jacob, go back to Bethel, Jacob. And when you're back there, I need you to remember. And I honestly believe that there are many people that are here today. You need to go back. You need to go back to Bethel, and you need to remember those moments. You just need to remember where God just did some astounding things in your life, where it seemed to be in these places that were like in the middle of nowhere. Nowhere, especially if you really clearly want to know where he's leading you next. Just think about this for a second, friends. Think about the potential here, celebrators. Think about sometimes you have to go back and you have to look at these people that were placed into your life, and you see their faces and you remember their names, and God brought them into your life, and you have to go back, and you have to go back to these places that God put you, and you're like, why am I here? Why am I in prison? Why am I, you know, in this place? And you're thinking about these things that God has allowed to happen in your life, and you need to go back. You need to go back to these most inopportune times, these most inopportune locations, and you need to go back, and you might need to say something like this: you know what, it's crazy, but it was in that place, you know, that place in the middle of nowhere, it's called Maricopa, you know, that place. Oh my gosh. You talk about in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean, that place. But here's what's crazy. I didn't even know why I was there. You know, my job took me here, and I'm like, I can't wait to get out of here. And this is what I'm thinking. And why did he bring me here? And you need to go back to that place, and you need to start thinking. But you know what? What's nuts is it happened in that random place, Maricopa, in the middle of nowhere. It was there. It was there. It was them. It was then that God did some amazing things in my life. He did some remarkable things in my life. He changed my life there with them in that place called Maricopa. And God's saying, go back there. That's what I want you to hold on to. Those places, those people, where I did things, I just made ways, and you didn't even know how it was done. That season. Sometimes, friends, you got to go back to ever go forward. And here's what's just remarkable to me. I've discovered myself. When I go on a journey back to Bethel, here's a cool privilege that I have. I actually get to go back to Bethel. It's crazy. But I get to go back to Bethel every single week. Right here. I get to go back to Bethel as I look out at a first crowd of sea of faces, at a second crowd of a sea of faces, and I get to go back. God takes me back to Bethel. And you know what's crazy? I look out and I see these faces, these familiar faces that are looking at me, and you're smiling, sometimes you're frowning, sometimes you're sleeping. I get that, but I look at these faces all across the room in two services, and every week I sit there and God takes me back. He takes me back to that incredible opportunity, to that incredible privilege where I've had the chance to meet so many of you right smack dab in the middle of your transition. Right smack dab in the middle of your trouble. And I have got to watch, eyewitness, and see and experience God show up and show off in amazing ways in your life. And I get to see every week people that come in here and tell me stories, and I walk out saying they should not be in church. You know what I'm saying? That's the last place they should be. But God is doing something in your life, and he takes me back to Bethel every single week, and I look out there, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, oh my gosh, those moments, those moments where I've had the privilege to meet you in the middle of your nowhere. You know what it does for me? It brings me back there every single week to walk back out here and have a chance to do it again. This is the most amazing thing. I look out at it. I say this. I say things like this. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely he's here. Now here's what I found. I found that it works best when you might be at a place in your life that you have nowhere of where you're going. And you just do something like this. You look back and you do a 180 and you say, ah, I remember that time that God had me there. And I was lonely and I was hurting and I was broken. But it was in that moment that God gave me a promise. And I'm in this moment where just, oh gosh, I don't even know what tomorrow holds. I may not have my house. I may not have my family. But I look at this moment and I remember this promise that God says, I'm here with you in this. And he gave me this promise that says, you don't need to worry about this. And he gave me just in that moment, I couldn't even understand, but he gave me in that moment this peace that just passed all my need for understanding. And he said, don't worry about today. Don't you worry about today, because I got tomorrow right here. I'm holding it. And he gave me this peace, and I'm like, oh, you just need to go back. You need to go back and you need to remember those moments. And you need to say, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna remember. I'm always, always, always gonna remember what it's like to meet God in the middle of nowhere. I can't forget that. I can't forget that. Here's what's interesting. The first time Jacob went to Bethel, he was running. He was running for his life. He was young. He was inexperienced, and he'd done some stupid things. He was running. But the second time he went back to Bethel, he was limping. He was limping. Because he wrestled with God, and God touched the socket of his hip and it went out of joint. And he had been through some things. He had been seasoned a little bit. And the second time he goes back, he's remembering everything that God has done. He's remembering. Bethel's a place of remembrance, friends. Bethel's also a place of revelation. Revelation. Because it was there at Bethel, in the middle of nowhere, that Jacob had his greatest revelation. Here's that revelation in Genesis 35:3. It says, then come, let us go to Bethel, which I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me. Here it is. Here's the revelation. Wherever I have gone. Guys, in Genesis 28, Jacob says, the Lord is in this place. But now Jacob, he's journeyed full circle in his life. He's journeyed full circle, right? Don't miss this. Because it was in this moment that Jacob shows back up at Bethel. And he's like, No longer. Surely the Lord is in this place. He's like, oh yes, I remember. God was in that place. But you know what? God was also in this place in my life. And he was also in this place in my life. And he was also in this place in my life. And he was also in that place in my life. And it was in that moment that Jacob realized, he's been with me. wherever I have gone. Oh, get this, celebrators. Listen, the presence of God, it's not in a place. It's in a person. It's in a person. It's portable. He's with you wherever you go. That's why the Bible tells us that another name for him is Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. God is with us. It's that way. So Jacob comes back. He comes back and he's like, oh my gosh, I see it. I do. I have been through some things. I'm limping. I've got some blessings the wrong way. I've fought some battles. But it was here. It was there. It was in that place. It was in that place where God was with me. In the middle of nowhere. Oh gosh, I gotta catch my breath. Because this part gets going. Listen. This is the revelation for you today. This is the revelation. Listen, guys, you want to know what happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere? Do you want to know what happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere? Do you want to know what happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere? I can't hear you, church. Come on. Do you want to know what happens when God shows up there? Okay, listen. Then don't miss this. Don't miss this because this is your revelation today. What happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere is this. God is now here. God is now here. Are you seeing this, friends? When God shows up in the middle of nowhere, it means that God is now and he is here. God is now and he is here. That's why the Bible says that he, God, is a very present help in our time of where? Trouble. In your time of transition, in your time of trouble, God is a very present help. You know what that means, people? Please get this. That means that he's in the middle of messed up marriages. He's in the middle of doctor's reports. He's in the middle of messed up kids. He's in the middle of lost jobs. He's in the middle of your addictions. He's in the middle of lost homes. He's in the middle of crisis. He's in the middle of death. He's in the middle of your no hope. God is now here. It's what happens when God shows up in the middle of nowhere. God is now here. He's here right now, celebrators. He's right now here. He's here. He's now. He's right now here in the middle of nowhere for you. He's right now here. Oh, I'm going to die. You would help me. You would help me if you get going a little bit, and then I wouldn't have to get so worked up. You know what I'm saying? Okay? He's now here. What that means? It means you're not alone. Shame on you. You're not alone. You're not lost. You're not without hope. Why? Because he's an ever-present God. He's here. He's now. He's now here. That's our God. I'm telling you, friends, some of you need today. Some of you need to go back. You need to go back to Bethel and you need to remember because Bethel's a place of remembrance. And you need to go back to Bethel so you can have a revelation. You can have a revelation of just how big your God is. But that's not all, friends. Bethel, it's also a place of response. It's also a place of response. It's a place of response. The first time Jacob went to Bethel, I told you, he was running. The second time he went back, he was limping. The first time Jacob goes back, it's interesting. The first time that Jacob went to Bethel, he's making deals with God. I told you about his vision. I didn't tell you about his vow. Let me tell you about his vow. Genesis chapter 28, 21, the Bible says the first time Jacob went to Bethel, he has this vision of God, and he says something like this. He says, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, he's making a contract with God. Oh my gosh, he's a negotiator. He's doing deals. You've never done that, have you? Never. I'll give my life to God if he does that. That's Jacob. That's who he is. He's doing deals. Are you kidding me? God's like, that's not how I roll. He's making deals. Verse 21, so that I will return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. Only if those things happen, then he'll be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. But now let's go back to the second time he went back to Bethel. Jacob goes back in Genesis 35, and as I told you, he's limping, right? He's been blessed, but he's broken. It's a little different this time. Watch this. This is so huge. Genesis 35, 14 through 15. Second time he goes back. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it, and he poured some oil on it. Once again, remember, symbolizing the presence of God. Now watch this. Watch this. The first time he says, surely the Lord is in this place. But Jacob called this place, this time, don't miss this, where God had talked with him. He called it Bethel. The first time Jacob was doing all the talking. But now some time has passed. He's been through some things. So the second time he goes back to Bethel, it's no longer where he's doing all the talking. It now has become the place where God talked with him. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's the place. That's the place you need to come to, where you stop talking and you start listening. Will you bow your heads, close your eyes? Please don't shut me off. I'm not done. I'm almost done. But you need to hear this. You need to hear this, friends. Second time Jacob goes back, he doesn't say a word. The Bible says he builds an altar. He just remembers the revelation that he had in the middle of nowhere where God talked with him. Now, here's what's interesting. When you and I think of an altar today, we think of something like this, the front of the stage, where sometimes we call you or invite you to come down and kneel and pray and make things right with God. And that's what we think of an altar today. But just so you know the significance of this, in the Old Testament, an altar was this place of sacrifice. Sacrifice. You get what sacrifice is, right? It means something dies. Something dies as an offering to God. Sacrifice. So when it says that Jacob built an altar, it meant that Jacob was, something was dying inside of Jacob to come alive in a sacrifice to God. And here's what's very, very interesting, friends. In the New Testament, one of my favorite passages in Romans chapter 12, 1, something very interesting in comparison to us in our lives today. The Bible says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers, I am trying to persuade you, I'm pushing you, so Paul's saying, I'm urging you, brothers and sisters, in light of, in view of God's mercy, in response to what he's done for you, I'm pushing you, I'm urging you, I'm nudging you because of what he's done for you. Listen to this. Offer yourself. Offer your body as what? A living sacrifice. See, it's a response. What God does for you demands and calls a response from you. It's a response. Now watch this. Offer yourself a living sacrifice that's holy. That means set apart. That's pleasing. That means approved by God. Because this is your true and proper worship. I love the King James here. It says, this is your reasonable service. This is your reasonable response. I love it. It's like the writer says, this is the least you can do. Because of what he's done for you, this is the least that you could do. Offer yourself as a living. And notice that it says living sacrifice. Aren't those two different words? No, because sacrificing your life to Christ, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. A living sacrifice. And I personally believe today, friends, somebody here today, it's time for you to build an altar of sacrifice. It's time that you go back to Bethel. You take a good long look at your life. You remember where God showed up and showed off. And you remember how he showed up and showed off. Those revelational moments. And it's time that you stop negotiating with God. You stop setting the parameters for that better life. It's time for you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And say something like this. Today, God, today I remember every single one of those moments that you showed up and showed off, and it was such a revelation. So God, in light of all of those moments, I owe you the very least, my life. So today I give it back to you. I lay my life before you. Bethel's a place of response. Question is today, friends, will you respond? Will you respond? Would you stand to your feet? Let me pray for you. And we're going to open up our altars for a place for you to respond today. If you would like to do that with some counselors that are in the front. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for our time today. Thank you, God, for giving us some incredible opportunities to learn more about you. I pray someone's life today would be eternally changed because of what you said to them. I pray somebody today, Lord, gets their first memory of you. They get their first memory of you. And you give them salvation as they sacrifice their life to you. And there's many of my friends here today, Lord, that I know, they are running. They're so destination driven. And today's the day that you've called them to go back to Bethel and remember. Maybe, just maybe, that will solve some of the problems that are in their life today. If they go back to remember where you met them in the middle of nowhere. Love you, Jesus, in your son's precious and holy name. Amen.